your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to yet another edition of Western Conference Wednesdays here on Locked On NHL. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Los Angeles Kings. I'm here with Tom Gazzola, my usual Wednesday partner in crime here on this show. And today I'm just gonna tell you off the bat, we're not really discussing some happy stuff. We're discussing some things that could maybe spell the writing is on the wall for the future of hockey this season. It's not always looking so great. The big news is that the Vegas Golden Knights have had several positive tests for COVID-19 of their players. Over in the Eastern Conference, the Columbus Blue Jackets have also had several players test positive. Vegas and Columbus both are saying that, or the rumors are that they're also like family members of players who are testing positive. So it's escaping the bubble of just the men on the ice. And then up in World Juniors, at least two players have tested positive for COVID-19 for Team Canada, which has delayed one of their final intra-squad game as they're looking to cut down their roster as they get closer to World Juniors. So what does this mean for all of us, for World Juniors, for the NHL season? Where do we go from here?
It's funny, Sarah, because a week ago we were talking about the prospects of the vaccine. We started hearing about a couple of the companies that are ready to go with the vaccine. We heard another one this week out of, I think it's the UK, that's starting to roll this out. And of course, that takes time. So it's almost like a complete contrast from last week. And now it's so bleak, and we're swinging from one end of the pendulum to the other, and the spectrum keeps shifting, you know, depending on the day. So I want to be stubborn and resilient like my Polish mother and Italian father are, and say I'm going to just stick with the positives. But it's hard not to overlook the news that we're getting. You know, we're starting to see players from multiple teams. And you mentioned the Vegas Golden Knights because it is Western Conference Wednesday. And ultimately, that's not good, Sarah. It really isn't. And anytime anybody is positively identified for COVID-19, that's not a good thing. And it's running rampant all over the place. But I think, you know, the best course of action, at least the way I'll go about it and try to keep my head on the level, is take a step back and assess the situation in front of us. We know that infections are running rampant here in Alberta, and I know we're going to get into it. It's not good. We had more COVID-19 positive cases over the last couple of days than the province of Ontario. Alberta is the hot spot in Canada, and you know, we could go on and on about why, how that's being done, and what people are not doing around here. But ultimately, big picture, Sarah, I don't think this is going to affect when hockey gets going again. The plan is to get going again. You knew that this would not be a smooth road. This would come with its bumps, and we're seeing it. This is a bump. You know, we have two teams here on the same day talking about positive tests from multiple players. Like you said, family members also infected and affected. And this isn't really new. We saw prior to the bubble that there were multiple teams dealing with multiple infections. And I think, you know, watching what's going on in football and seeing how the NFL is handling it is something we could point to and go, well, they seem to be carving the path to continuing to play despite continued infections and infection rates rising. And who knows where it goes? And maybe in a week from now when we're doing this podcast, it could be gloom and doom, or it could be a lot rosier. But I think that the plan stays the same. The NHL stays the course. Hopefully everybody that's been infected gets better. And hopefully whatever restrictions, governments, local governments, state, provincial, and federal governments impose in terms of health restrictions and safety measures are abided by. And in a couple of weeks, we see the effect of that, and that's less infections. But I think ultimately, Sarah, the course remains the same, and the goal is to get going again. And I feel like, you know, your heart goes out to anyone who's infected, including hockey players, but that the NHL monitors this closely, as it should. And when these players are back and healthy and fighting fit, that they're back on the ice, but not until they get 100% clearance. This is a setback, no doubt, but in the grand scheme of things, I think we're going to be looking at hockey starting again. And I don't think it throws a huge wrench into the plans.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that maybe this is going to make them look a little more closely at, and we've kind of talked about it before on this show, is that one of the ideas that had been floated was at least doing kind of temporary bubbles or temporary hubs of teams all kind of come in, shelter in one place for a little while, knock out a bunch of games, and then kind of reset. And I know that, you know, the players are understandably not excited about that, not excited about having to spend more time away from their families. And, you know, they don't even have the justification of, well, we're doing it to win the Stanley Cup. Now it's just to get through a season. But, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of feel like it's something that they might have to consider a little more as they try to restart play, even if it's just for, you know, January, February. They kind of do this rotating bubble kind of thing, just to get guys healthy and to give them all the opportunity to play and maybe learn a little bit more about the timing of the vaccine and how it works and all that. But I feel like there's so many variables of, you know, we don't want these guys to have to sacrifice to like live in a hermetically sealed, you know, bubble of their own. We want them to be able to have lives, and, you know, they have kids, their kids go to school, their kids, you know, go to daycare, whatever. But there's so many variables that go into keeping people safe when you can't control what they're doing 24/7. So I know no one's going to like it, but they might have to really go back to that idea of a hub city or something just to get this started and see where it goes from there. We continue our look at the world of hockey and COVID-19 coming up after this. Real quick, though, Built Bar has a surprise for all of you. They've got a Black Friday deal going on. It begins at 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. So make sure you're heading to BuiltBar.com to get your little fingers ready to place an order, because they are introducing two new flavors. It's the all-new white chocolate bar. They've got a white chocolate cookies and cream and white chocolate salted caramel. And you get two candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased. So you've got all sorts of great stuff coming your way from Built Bar. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it is the most delicious protein bar out there on the market. They're good for you, and they taste like you're eating something delicious instead of something, you know, good for you. And on Cyber Monday, which is a thing, there are two more flavors that'll be coming your way: white chocolate cherry sundae and white chocolate coconut deluxe. So make sure you head over to builtbar.com. You can go to builtbar.com and get 25% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to get some extra percents off of your order. That's builtbar.com. Go check it out.
Here's a good thing about the NHL's approach is they, and Gary Bettman, again, I'll kind of echo what he said, and Bill Daly to a certain extent, is everything's on the table. And all of a sudden, like you said, a hybrid bubble type system or rotating bubble type system. Now, all of a sudden, especially if this continues to trend negatively as opposed to positively, and of course that means, you know, maybe we see more teams infected with more COVID and a couple of outbreaks here and there, maybe all of a sudden you start looking at that hybrid system with rotating bubbles and all of that. And I know that the players and all the staff and the arena folk that were in the bubbles in Toronto and Edmonton, you know, especially the ones that were there for prolonged stays, for them, it wasn't the most pleasant experience. I know that. But There is the financial element, not only for the players, but for the owners as well. Fans want sports. Fans want hockey. I know there's a thirst for the NHL to come back. And I think that the good thing that the NHL has done is left everything on the table. And they can kind of be touch and go about the situation. So I suppose if, again, we're looking on the bright side, and I'll be stubborn like my good parents and say I'm looking at the positives. On the bright side, there might be some windows of opportunity and possibilities to still make this happen if things aren't going according to plan A, let's call it. So it's really interesting. I hate this term in news and live TV, but it's a fluid situation. Day to day, you know, this is the perfect example of that. And here we are, you know, we're in a conundrum to a certain extent. I don't think it's massive just yet. It has the potential to get bigger. But it's a dilemma, certainly, and we'll see where it goes. It's really on us as the public is to kind of say, all right, we need to get this in check. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do the right thing. And you know, again, being here in Alberta, we've got plenty of people, and the proof is in the statistics, not doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, speaking from the two areas I'm kind of most familiar with, Chicago and then LA from covering the Kings, it's kind of two different stories here. Chicago is still, you know, way too high, real bad, but it's at least trending in the right direction, like we've been seeing over the past couple of days, you know, positive cases going down, hospitalizations going down. LA, on the other hand, just reported their highest number of new COVID cases the other day, plus a bunch of cases that are backlogged, so they can't even report on them yet. They're seeing a steeper increase in cases now than they did, you know, earlier in the summer. It's from October 31st through November 13th, per the Los Angeles Department of Health, of Public Health. They had an average daily case increase of 108%. Mm. So, you know, that's I'm not a big math person, but that's pretty bad. And so things are, you know, depending on what city you're looking at, things are either looking like bad but okay, or really scary. And I think that especially with so many hockey teams being in big major cities where these things are usually hardest hit, is going to be something that all of these teams and the NHL are going to have to be keeping an eye on, just because of, if you can't isolate these guys from their environment, then you have to know what's going on out there.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally. And as an Albertan too, I'll bring it close to home for us north of the border. Canada's looking at Alberta, and Alberta is, think of it as Texas North. You know, we don't have the same population by any means as Texas, but it's agriculture, it's energy, oil and gas, hardworking blue collar people, and a couple of major cities in Edmonton and Calgary. And you know, Texas has Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin, wonderful cities. But there's a certain way of thinking, and like, you know, Texas probably looks at the rest of the United States, Alberta looks at the rest of Canada a certain way. And right now, Alberta's fighting it really hard right now. And there's no one to blame but Albertans pointing the finger at themselves or looking themselves in the mirror and saying, we should have done better and not taken this lightly.
And looking at the World Juniors kids, it was actually pretty interesting to see. I mean, interesting slash concerning, I guess, to see that a couple of their players have been diagnosed, because they both Hockey Canada and the IIHF have had pretty tough protocols that guys have to go through. Canada is going to have, like, they're going to have to isolate, even though they're already in Canada, they are still going to have to isolate themselves before World Juniors starts. These kids, as it is, are pretty, you know, locked down in this training camp, and yet, you know, here we are with a couple of positive tests. And, you know, I feel like they have tried to pull out all the stops of making sure, you know, multiple tests that people have to go through and all that stuff. And yet, you know, they've done the best that they can to isolate these kids. And here we are with some positive results anyway.
Yeah. And this is kind of Hockey Canada, in a way, you know, they've handled this very well by kind of building some buffer into their training camp. I mean, training camp has started way earlier than traditional years, but by no means is this a traditional year. And at the same time, they've done everything that they can, at least, you know, listening to people that are going into the Hockey Canada bubble that are in it right now, to be as cautionary as they possibly can and to take no risk. But, you know, you can only protect so much, and this bubble is not impenetrable. And you've got people serving food. You have outsiders coming in. I know the contact is generally limited, but, you know, one slip up and bada bing, bada boom, you can see infections. And this is what has occurred.
There is more all about the world of hockey and World Juniors and COVID-19 and all sorts of stuff that has me, at least, a little bit worried coming up on the show. Make sure you go back and listen to yesterday's episode where Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano looked at some of the information about the new division alignments in the NHL that are proposed for, you know, when we come back to play, and some other issues about hockey and the start of hockey and what things might look like. So make sure you go back and listen to yesterday's episode as well of Locked On NHL.
So on the negative side, you know, again, it goes back to Alberta and the rampant COVID-19 right here. So we're in a hot zone and it found its way into Hockey Canada's World Juniors bubble. But at the same time, Hockey Canada took enough precaution to give itself enough runway that if a situation like this did arise, which it has, and they have to deal with it, they had the time to deal with it. And I think that they have the full capacity medically to deal with it, and self-isolating as well as contact tracing. This is being run through with a fine-tooth comb. Hockey Canada is basically the 33rd NHL team with the way it can run things and the budget it has. So it's bad, Sarah, but at the same time, it's in good hands with the people that can handle it. And then it also is a shining example of what is going on and how COVID-19 can penetrate even a bubble that you think is to a certain extent airtight.
Yeah. And even with World Juniors, pretty much all of the teams, all of the countries have had much larger camps than usual. Hockey Canada has, you know, 40 some players. Sweden had over 30 guys on their initial list. Slovakia, 45 guys. So teams are inviting way more guys than they usually do, just to have that buffer, of if the NHL starts, some of these guys are probably going to get called back to their team. And B, if some of them start getting sick, you need to know what other bodies are there to bring on to your squad for the tournament. And I know the NHL has floated that same idea, essentially, of having expanded rosters, you know, much more than usually for this upcoming season, so that, you know, much like I think baseball had expanded rosters, football always just has a million guys floating around anyway. Yeah. Hockey always seems to run a lot leaner. And we've definitely seen teams in recent history have to play short just because of injuries and cap constraints and stuff like that. And I think we're hearing, you know, rumblings that is going to be kind of loosened this upcoming season. I'm really going to be curious to see how that works, especially if teams are keeping up some of their top prospects, but then they're not getting regular games. I feel like it could be a really interesting scenario, especially considering the trickle down that it's going to have to, you know, the AHL, the ECHL, for those teams that haven't, you know, unfortunately had to cancel their season. And even for junior hockey, like there might be some guys who end up staying up with the team instead of going back to juniors, because juniors is also sort of super uncertain at the moment.
It's a double-edged sword, and you're right. Rosters, I'm assuming, are likely going to be expanded. You want your prospects playing, and you have guys that you've drafted recently that aren't playing because their particular leagues aren't going yet, and you just want guys progressing, and it's hard to do when you're not playing hockey. And In one aspect of it, there's enough people not playing hockey that it might not affect some. But at the other end of the spectrum, you look at some players, especially overseas, that are playing and their seasons are going, and you know, the QMJHL has kind of stuttered along. There's some junior A leagues that are playing smaller, shortened seasons, and in the States, you know, things, you know, depending where you are hit or miss. So it's interesting. If you're an NHL team, you just want your players playing. And if you have an expanded roster, then you might bring up a prospect or two and keep them along, or build a rotation into your lineup for every second or third game for a couple of particular players, depending on what you have. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, if you're a fan of a particular team, you go, well, our team's at a disadvantage because of such and such. And other teams got an advantage because, well, they can play all these prospects and this and that, or these guys have all their players playing in Europe. But I don't know. I think somehow it all evens out. It's just very, very difficult to really put into context. But I think at the end of the day, every NHL team ultimately is in the same boat. And basically everyone's growth and development, I think this year is truly going to be stunted to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think teams are going to have to think a lot more creatively than we have that we're necessarily used to seeing from a lot of NHL teams. And I think that this will be kind of for as much as development's going to be not great for a lot of players, especially young guys, this will be a real chance to see who's got savvy front offices and who is kind of struggling to keep up with figuring out how to navigate this, because
great
I think
point.
It's going to become real clear which teams come into this with a great plan and which teams have it all kind of blow up in their faces pretty quickly.
Totally. Yeah, Sarah, you nailed it. And that's a very, very good point. And you're right. It's a test. And just like you said, we're going to see who comes out with passing grades. And then others will be exposed. That's an excellent, excellent point.
Well, we're going to keep crossing our fingers that infection rates stay low and that all of these players and their families and their teams navigate all of this as smoothly as they can, with, you know, everyone staying healthy, because that at the end of the day, hockey's just a game. And these are, you know, players' lives that, you know, could be affected by this. So in football, we're seeing players have to basically stop playing because of heart issues and things that are arising after having COVID-19. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have to remember that they're real people and not just guys who we see on the ice. But we're going to hope that everything goes smoothly and that, you know, we have hockey, but it's done in a safe and you know, conscious way to make sure that no one is being exposed unnecessarily to all this stuff. So we'll keep an eye on that, continue to look forward to all that. And end on a positive note of just hoping that everything ends up well and that we get to see hockey and it's fun and no one gets sick. So that's really all we can ask for, I think, at this point in time.
Yes. You know what? You're right. Positive note. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Let's do it right. Let's be safe. It's a collective effort. North of the border, south of the border, and let's do the right thing. And hopefully everybody gets through this, because it's been such a, I'll just say it, Sarah, it's been a crappy year. And
yep.
Better times lie ahead. We do know this, but let's get there together.
Exactly. So we'll keep hoping for that. For listeners out there who want to hear more from you, want to keep up with the Oilers and everything that's going on up there in the slightly bad at COVID Alberta, where can they find you on the internet and everything?
Come check me out on Twitter at Tom Gazzola. I'm hosting the Oilers pre and post game show at TSN 1260. When we get going, Sarah, which will be exciting, again, positivity. And you can catch me on the Oil Stream every Wednesday and Friday on Twitter with my buddy and our morning show host, Dustin Nielsen, as well.
Most excellent. I'm available on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. You can come yell at me about sports and stuff. This show is available on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. So you can keep up with our great national show and all of the awesome things that are coming out from our hosts across the network. And make sure you come back next week. Subscribe if you haven't already. If this is your first time stopping by here, go look at your podcast app and hit that subscribe button. Make sure you come back next time. Tell your friends all about the show and tune in tomorrow for more hockey talk here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.